Just so you know. Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everybody said amen, yeah. Rocky Balboa, ho ho. Anybody want to talk about Rocky? We can talk about Rocky if you want to. Yep, yep. Why was Dad staring at the orange juice? Because it said concentrate, yeah. Nice. How do you make Budweiser? How do you make Budweiser? Send him to school. That's it. Yeah. Y'all know my jokes. Yeah, okay. We're going to get off of it. Get off of it. All right, what's blue and doesn't weigh that much? Light blue. Okay, yeah. And we're done. And we're done. let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Open our hearts, open our minds. Get us ready, Lord, to receive your word. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody agree with that said? Amen. So we've been talking about what? Authority. And I have been stuck in Ephesians for how long? Forever. Amen. I have. So guess where we're going to go? Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. Y'all got it figured out. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. We just prayed it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give unto who? You. Us. Uses. Us, the body of Christ, friends, family, yourself, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The Bible tells us that that knowledge is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord begins with the knowledge of him. Not fear is being afraid of him, but you begin to respect him and his ways and what he wants us to do just by gaining knowledge. Just by gaining knowledge. And you might go, well, what is knowledge, Greg? Knowledge is nothing more than a collection of facts. You can learn some facts. In fact, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. When we hope for something, hope is not a wish. It's not something that we wish will happen. That's not what hope is. Hope is actually being convinced of something true. So since you're convinced of something true, you have an expectation of good in your life. That's what faith really is. You get the knowledge, you collect the facts. You begin to grab understanding through the Holy Spirit, which is the organization of those facts. And then you begin to put those facts to work in your life and you operate in wisdom. And now faith has something to grab onto. You have something to grab onto. You have a foundation in your heart, in your head, in your life. You have a foundation that you can spring off of. That he would give unto us what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. Not only have we collected the facts, but we can organize them together in a way that we can use them. Something that makes sense. Has anybody ever had the Bible not make sense to you? Yes. So you ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. His knowledge, not yours, not man's, but his knowledge on his own word. He will bring to you the understanding, the proper order of the facts that you are hearing and that you've got in your head, and understanding will show up. That's what this means. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, not your eyes, not your physical eyes, but on the inside of us, we have a spiritual person in us. We are a spirit. Eyes and ears are on the inside of us. Those eyes need to be enlightened to the word of God. So we can see clearly. There's nothing worse than being confused. I don't understand how electricity works. It scares me. If you don't understand how God works, he will scare you. When you come into a power source that you don't understand, you will be scared. If you understand how electricity works, if you understand the kingdom of God and how he does the thing, if the eyes of your understanding have been enlightened, there is no fear. There's no terror. I mean, my uncle was a lineman for the city of Minden for a long time. He ain't afraid of electricity because he knows how the stuff works. Yeah, I got one back there. Just go ahead. Come on, Stephen. Come out and let everybody see you. It's me. Yeah, Stephen's a lineman. Yeah. Everybody say, hi, Stephen. We came to see God, but we saw you. Thanks, Stephen. I love giving him a hard time. But he's a lineman. He knows how electricity works. He's not afraid of it. Not afraid of it at all. Me? I'm a banker. All I know about electricity is you flip a switch and it works. If it don't, call somebody. Because it ain't working right. I'm afraid of electricity. You can ask my wife. If we got the little tasers. Y'all know those lipstick tasers? You know what I'm talking about? You clear a room with me. I'm gone. You pull one of them things out, go bzzz. You know what I'm talking about? A little. I'm gone. Bye. You want me to leave your house? That's it. You want me to stop preaching? Pull one out. I'm gone. I just don't do it. Because I don't understand it. And since I don't understand it, I'm afraid of it. People all over the world right now that don't understand God and they're afraid of him. There's no reason to fear a father that loves you so much that he gave his one and only son to die on a cross for you. And 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And one day he's going to come back on a big old white horse. And it's going to be crazy, crazy awesome. He'll step out on a cloud and say, come on up, y'all. Just like that. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. So many churches try to convince you that God is a mystery. You just never know what the Lord's going to do. Uh-uh. He wants you to know. That is a sign of you not having clear understanding of the Word of God. It's not flattering at all for me to say, my wife, I just don't ever know what she's going to do. That's not a flattering statement, is it? Think of yourself. If I looked at you and say, well, you just don't know about Ken Brock. You don't know about Mr. Ken. You never know what he's going to do. That's not flattering, is it? It's not respectful. But yet, church after church and Christian after Christian, people all the time are saying, we just never know what the Lord's going to do. That's because you don't read his book. If you read his book, you would know what he's going to do. The enemy is the author of confusion. The enemy is the one that wants you out of your mind. The enemy is the one that wants you afraid and scared. If he can get you afraid and scared, you won't do nothing. And that's all he's looking for. He just needs you to sit still and be quiet. Sounds like a few churches I've been to, sit still and be quiet. You notice here, we don't sit still, we don't be quiet. And that's why. That is the main reason why. Because we should all be getting up, doing something, and rolling on something. Amen. Let me get back to the word. I'm sorry, I'm going to get on my little soapbox, and I'm going to get off. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. Not only do we have hope in him, but he calls himself in Romans the God of all hope. He has hope in each and every one of you. He has a joyous expectation of something good happening in you. That's the hope of his calling. He has called you. He has separated you. He has equipped you. And he has an expectation of something good happening through you. That's the hope of his calling. What are the riches of his glory and in the inheritance in the saints, which is an awful lot for us to get into, but I'm not going to get into that because I want to keep going. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things where? Under his what? Feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Whether or not you know it, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, you are now part of the body of Christ. You're part of the body of Christ. He is the head or the body. I don't know about any of y'all, but my head cannot do anything without my body. And my body can't do anything without my head. It is a relationship that we're in. We're in a covenant relationship with Almighty God through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, who's become the head of the church and tells us what we should be doing every day of our lives. He leads us and guides us in all truth. He becomes our shepherd. He takes us into places where there's green pastures. He takes us to peaceful spots. He leads us around everywhere we go and for His name's sake and His paths of righteousness that He sends us. And yeah, we might go through the valley of the shadow of death, but He's with us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. Are you with me? He sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Our cup runs over. He just keeps pouring and pouring and pouring. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow us all the days of our lives, and in the house of the Lord we'll dwell forever. There's a reason why David was able to pen this stuff is because he knew that he was part of the body. When you touch somebody, Jesus touches them. That's the reason why it said they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Why do people recover? It's just like Him touching them. It's just like Jesus hugging your children. You are His body. You are heaven on this earth right now. You are the channel that people can go through to touch the Almighty. You are a wire that nobody really needs to see that connects folks to a power source that they don't truly understand. You, not me. I'm called to equip you to go do the work of the ministry. That's what this pulpit does. It equips you. Whoever's standing up here is here to help equip you, give you the things, the tools that you need to go and be the body of Christ. Charles, go ahead. Is that Charles back there? Yeah, Charles, go ahead and take him to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. What else did He do with you? What does it say? He made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Lots to do there, not going to do it. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Got real bad. But then, here comes this thing. I love this next word. Do y'all see it yet? But. God's always got a big but. Always. He's got the biggest but you've ever known. It can always look like something's bad, but God. It can always look like it's all falling apart, but God. It can always look like it's never going to get better than what it is today, but God. The end of whatever you are, good, bad, or ugly, but God. He has more. He wants more. He expects and hopes for you to have more and better. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love, wherewith with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, what did He do? He did what? Who's dead? None of us. He made you alive. Your spirit is alive. The Bible says that you were crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The distilled Bible, which I love the distilled Bible. They said it. Yeah, it's called distilled. It's the distilled translation. They stick it in a vat of bourbon for several years and they distill it and then it comes out and it's a new translation. I'm getting some shakes up here. Yeah. Triple distilled. Yeah. No, I'm playing. No, it's called the distilled Bible, but it actually says that I died with Christ. And now it's simply Jesus using my body. That's my existence. My existence is now simply Jesus using my body. Because we're part of the body of Christ. Even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we've been saved. Amazing grace. And He did what? Verse 6. and he raised us up together. Where's the us's? We said it earlier. Us's. Who's been raised? The us's. What happened to us? We were raised with who? With him, together, all of us, and made us do what? What happened to the us's? What did we do? Now, I'm going to keep preaching this stuff till y'all know it. I told you. What happened to the us's? They were raised and did what? They got set down in heavenly places. Where? Those heavenly places are in verse 21 of the first chapter. It says, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. That's where you are. The right hand of God. Are you with me? He raised us up together. Isn't that what it said? Y'all got your Bibles? Anybody can bring it back? Let me look at this. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. If you have your paper Bible, draw a line from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Draw a line from there over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Just draw a line in a big circle. Because that's how those two relate to each other. In heavenly places, and the heavenly places are actually defined in verses 20 and 21. Y'all with me? I told you I was going to preach this till you got it. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where you are. All right, Romans chapter 5. Here we go. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. At some point in my life, I prayed a little prayer. It was in 1987. March 1987. Anybody else alive in 1987? I'm afraid so. No, not you. No. Yeah. Some of us has been around for a little bit more seasoned us as we know what 87 felt like. March 1987, First Baptist Church, Minden, Louisiana. This little boy right here got saved, born again that day. Prayed a prayer, got baptized a couple days later. Big deal. At least for me, it was a big deal. Then I went and lived like crazy for about another 5 or 6 years and kind of got it right a little later on. About 1998 is when I got it right, but I kind of took my time getting there. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is what happened at that point. Therefore, if any man, any person, anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. At that point in your life, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord, you became a brand new creation. The Amplified Bible says, a creature that never before existed. Your spirit and Jesus's spirit were mixed together. Peanut butter and jelly, you can mix them together into a whole new creation than never before was. Kool-Aid and water, you can mix them together into a creation that never before was. Yahweh, tea and sweetener. What's the yellow ones? Splenda. Everybody does Splenda. Mix them together, they become a new creation. The old unsweet tea has passed away. The unsweet tea has passed away, and behold, it's something brand new. On the day where you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it was all brand new. Everything was made brand new. You were a new creation. Something that never before existed. Let's go on. Now, after that, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry. Looking at ministers in here. A ministry of what? Reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling himself to the world. Good Lord's going to get you. No, he ain't. He loves you. He has reconciled or put himself back together with you and the world through Jesus. God's not going to, when you get to heaven, God's not going to ask you about all the bad that you did. He's not going to sit there and read out. There's not going to be an angel to step up on a big pedestal and start read out all the bad stuff that you did. There's going to be one question and one question only. What did you do with Jesus? That's it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father but by me. That's it. That's it. I don't know any other way. Other religions have tried to get there. Other ways of thought have tried to get there. There is no other way except by Him. That is it. And somehow we've put in our brain, we have some sort of thought process that we will have all this bad stuff going on, and it'll be bad, and it'll be bad, and it'll be bad, and it'll be bad, it'll be bad, and it'll be bad. And it's not. What'd you do with Jesus? Amen. Reconcile the world to self, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us. There's the us's again, the word of reconciliation. There ain't no point in telling somebody that they're a sinner. They know it. They know they're a sinner. They don't need your help to know that they ain't doing right. Everybody that ain't doing right knows they ain't doing right, including me. Right? They don't need your help figuring out how bad they are. Don't be sitting there giving people a hard time. Judging. You're going to judge. Now you can judge their fruit, but not the people. Golly. God loves them. Why don't we? Committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, what are we? We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled with God. For He made Him, this is where I wanted to land, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we may become what? The righteousness of God in Christ. What does that mean? Righteous means right standing. As you were intended to be. That is what the Greek really means. To be righteous means to be as you were intended to be. You are now in right standing with God and considered to be righteous. Amen. Let's go now to Romans chapter 5, and then we'll get out of here. Romans chapter 5. Oh, this is going to be fun. Verse 17, y'all got to listen real fast. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace, amazing grace. Any of y'all ever sang that song? How sweet the sound, amazing grace, saved a wretch like me. Abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Who's the us's? We just talked about the us's. Righteous. What will they do? They will reign when they get into the sweet by and by. In the sweet by and by, we will sit on that beautiful shore. Is that right? Is that what it says in the sweet by and by? No. It says we will reign when? In, is it up there? Is it behind me? It's behind me. Y'all read it. When does it say we will reign? In life. The Amplified Bible says reign as kings in life. Through who? The one, Jesus Christ. In Him we live, move, and have our being. He is everything. He is our all in all. Why do we say that? Because in Him we reign in life. We don't suffer. We don't be busted and disgusted. We are to reign in life. All right, I'm getting some funny looks here. Am I reading? Y'all got your Bibles? Did you bring your Bible? Let's make sure I'm reading it correctly, because I'm getting some funny looks, or either y'all are real hungry. One of the two. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Y'all with me? Everybody in the same spot? Okay, cool. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one. That's talking about Adam. Okay? Y'all remember the story of Adam and Eve? Eve ate the apple or whatever it was. Eve was deceived, but Adam sinned. He knew he was doing wrong. So through his one offense, death reigned through the one. Much more. So it means more than that. Are y'all with me? Much more, those who receive abundance of grace. Anybody been saved before? Amazing grace, how sweet. Okay. And righteousness. Who's part of the us's that's been made alive, seated with Jesus in heavenly places, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him? Is that you? All right. It's talking about you. Okay. And the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, and where I wanted to get to this morning, and my last point this morning, because I wanted to talk more and more and more and more about this than what I got time to do this morning. But, how does a person of royalty, primarily a king or a queen, reign? How do they do it? How does Charles the King reign? Uses his authority by speaking what shall be. Job says, we don't have it, do we? Job 28 or 22, 28. I'm sorry, y'all. We got to get one more. We got to do it. We got to do it. We're just going to have to do it. Hold on, everybody. Hold tight. Job 22, 28. Please, Charles. Job, anybody ever read Job? Oh, Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That's the only scripture we know out of Job. That's it. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And it wasn't even quoting God. It was quoting something that Job said. Job just said it. He was having a bad day. Read the story. It's like, man, all kind of stuff happened to him like within 24 hours. I'd be like, hey, what you doing? You know, I mean, we all would be like that. What's going on? But that's the only one we know. Look at this one. You will also what? Declare a thing, and what will happen when you declare it? It will be established. Light will shine on your ways. You are a king. You are a queen. You reign in life. You shall declare a thing, and it will be established. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What you deny will be denied, and what you allow will be allowed. Get to reign in this life. You get to say, no, it ain't right. I got law enforcement in here, right? I got law enforcement all day. If I go 90 miles an hour on the interstate, am I going to get pulled over? Yes. Why? Because it ain't right. You don't need to be doing 90 on the interstate with all them cars and the construction. It's not right. It's got to stop. It's the same exact thing in our life. It says that by his stripes we are healed. So if there is no health happening, it's not right. Somebody got to say something. Somebody got to get rolling on what the word says. He will provide all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and I'm broke. Well, something ain't right. Somebody needs to say something because it ain't right. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you allow will be allowed. If you leave the door open to your house, whatever gets in there is going to get in there. Whatever you're allowing, I mean, if you don't say nothing in your life, if you don't say a thing in your life, if you don't bind, if you don't loose, if you don't stand for what the word stands, and you just sit there and be quiet, you lose by default, and the enemy is going to run you over. He's going to wear you out because you're just sitting there not saying anything, not doing nothing. He is going to wear you out all day long. Now, stand up. Make a stand. You're a king. You're a queen. The Bible calls us royalty. We're a royal priesthood. Kings and queens called by God to live on this earth, to bring heaven to this earth while we're here for this short time. Man, y'all, we got to go. We got to go. You ain't got time for what I got to say. Part two. Yeah, I ain't going to be here next week. Chris got it. Is this sticking, y'all? not only are you saved, yeah, heaven's a good place. Good for you. That's awesome. Not only are you saved, though, you get to live this life and reign as a king and a queen in this life according to what the Word of God says. You get to look in this book and find out what this book says on your situation. And if your situation's not lining up with this, you start saying this into your situation and watch it change. You reign. You rule. You bind. You loose. You lay hands. You cast out. A bunch of little Jesuses walking around. Jesus said that the works that you see me do, you will do also, and greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father. It's greater because there's more. There's more of us. You're redeemed. You're born again. You got the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the name of Jesus. The blood has covered you. You're just, wow, if you could see yourselves in the Spirit, if you could just see what you look like in the Spirit, nothing would hold you back. There would be nothing to keep you from doing what you were supposed to do in this world. There would be nothing that would keep you from being who God has called you to be. Nothing would hold you back if you could just glimpse and see who you are. I'm going to be quiet. Y'all stand up. I'm going to keep going. It's going to run out. Everybody's hungry. We're going to start passing out Snickers bars about 11:30 to see what happens. Will you? You hungry, ain't you? Yeah, Joel's hungry, y'all. I am too, man. There you go. There you go. He said he was hungry for the Word. He wants y'all to know he's super spiritual. Anyway. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Father, for what you've revealed to us, Lord. We ask you to continue to reveal to us more and more your Word, Father. Help us to see it so that we can see it, we can act upon it and do it and walk in the blessings that you intend us to have. We thank you, Father, for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody agreed with that said? Y'all have a fantastic day. Go somewhere.